Up next on JusticeFound.org, Roland Washington and Montel Jennings interview Steve Zeltzer. Today on the Worker Justice Talk, they discuss Steve's work with LaborFest 2007.
This is Roland Washington for JusticeFound.org, and I'd like to thank David Korsmeyer for the intro to today's interview. I have with me today Steve Zeltzer and Montel Jennings. Steve Zeltzer is a, how can we say, kind of a shakes the tree in our local labor and I guess nationally and stuff. But maybe what I should do is let Steve introduce himself and tell us some of the things that he's involved in and give us an update on Labor Fest. Steve.
Thanks for having me on my show. I do produce labor TV and radio shows. We work together at KPFA for a time on the labor shows at KPFA, and also I'm on the organizing committee of Labor Fest, which is an annual commemoration to commemorate the San Francisco General Strike of 1934, which happened this month in July. And on July the 5th, two workers were killed, and it's called Bloody Thursday, and it's celebrated every year. As a result of that, there was a general strike in San Francisco, and hundreds of thousands of workers joined unions, and the ILWU was able to establish itself as a powerful union, and not just in San Francisco, but on the West Coast. Harry Bridges was president of the ILWU.
How many years has Labor Fest been going? How many years?
It's been going for 14 years since 1994. And one of the reasons we set it up was we wanted to institutionalize the commemoration, labor history, labor culture, and labor arts, because the corporate media in this country are not interested in working people knowing about their struggles.
That's true.
They come from.
Yeah, that's true. Montel Jennings here. The thing is what kind of turnout have you had with regard to Labor Fest, and is it multicultural turnout, diversified?
It's multicultural. I mean, for example, last night we had an event on labor and imperialism and Native Americans and the history of the United States and the of throwing the Native Americans off their land, and also labor imperialism and indigenous people, and also the exploitation of the Native Americans as slaves, actually, in
right.
California.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about that history. So we wanted to talk about that, the fact that they were used as slaves in the missions in California. And this history is unknown. And also there were massacres, genocide against Indians in California. Thousands were killed.
Right.
Their land was stolen. Most people don't know about that. So that's one of the events. There were a lot of young people. It was international. But the idea of Labor Fest is it's this working class we have in San Francisco and U.S. is an international working class. It's from every country of the world. And the history of workers is not just, obviously, in this country, but every country has its own history. South Africa, Korea, Japan. And we have an international working class film and video festival in conjunction with Labor Fest that we show labor videos from all over the world to show that the struggle of workers here is not separate from the struggle of workers in every country of the world.
That's right.
So that's Labor Fest. And is there a website up for it?
It's laborfest.net. It's the www.laborfest.net, and that has the whole schedule and films. And also, Labor Fest has expanded to the East Bay. We're going to have a walk on the. There was an Oakland general strike. It was the last general strike in the United States in 1946. So we have a walk in Oakland to commemorate that general strike. And Labor Fest is also expanding internationally. There was a Labor Fest in South Africa. There's a Labor Fest in Korea, South Korea, Turkey, Japan, Germany, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, and we exchange videos and we work to collaborate on an international level.
Okay, so that's the nice and fuzzy stuff. So now I will quantify myself and also how I know Steve Zeltzer. I'm a member of SEIU, and Steve and I were involved in trying to get what we call labor voices in the mass media. And at least my perspective, I'm speaking from my perspective, did not get a lot of support from the power brokers. So to me, it was just a microcosm of the issues that we fight for. It's like supposedly we fight against the bosses who we work for, and then we wound up finding ourselves fighting against the bosses who represent us. But there's two things about Steve that I want to address. Number one, Steve apparently had predicted that the Writers Guild or whatever, if they didn't... Well, Steve, tell us about it. Tell us what you had done. Because I don't know exactly the... I just know what you stated came true. Can you tell us what happened?
There was this guy, Frank Vega, who came in from Detroit after breaking the union there, pretty much, although there's a union, it's kind of a union in Dave Malone, came into the Hearst brought him over here to San Francisco to take over the Chronicle, writing the Chronicle. And basically, they forced the workers there, the Teamsters, and the Teamsters signed an agreement to cross the picket line to the other unions in return for some money. And also, the Newspaper Guild signed a concession contract that said that they would have to cross the picket lines of other unions. So basically, they made concessionary contracts, and now their hundreds are being laid off at the newspaper. And it's an epidemic of layoffs of journalists throughout the country, actually.
And that's because they can't set up picket lines, and then they've agreed that they will not honor the picket lines. Because if you say you won't cross the picket line, it means you'll get fired if you don't show up for work.
And that's one of the issues in the strike in the East, or the lockout in the East Bay of the Teamsters against Waste Management, because Waste Management wants these Teamsters to sign an agreement that they will cross the picket line of other unions.
So what's a strategy to resolve all that from happening?
Well, we have to have solidarity, and we have to organize politically and mobilize the entire working class. One of the things that we don't have in this country, we haven't had since the 1930s, are general strikes. And the capitalists are terrified of all workers starting to shut down things, because that's when you show your collective power.
Right.
And the way we are going to make real change in this country is those kind of actions, occupations, general strikes. That's when they bend and they say, oh, it's time to make reforms or concessions. Now, why should they? Their power isn't threatened. You have to challenge their power. And unfortunately, the unions in this country are pro-corporate, pro-capitalist. They don't want to challenge the power of the capitalists.
And also pro-power, because the few that are in power are almost there for life, it appears.
Well, the unions need to have more democracy and accountability and transparency. And unfortunately, the structure of the unions, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, make it very difficult to have elections and democratic discussion debate. Although, using the internet, workers can start to communicate, have discussion and debate. So it's possible to have that. But the unions have to get activated, and they have to become more democratic organizations.
So why do you think that in politics, like, we have term limits, especially like in California, and we can do that, but the same labor leaders that assist politicians in our unions, we can't have term limits for our leaders and stuff?
Well, it would be a revolution in the unions to have a term limit in the unions, because most of the officials of the unions don't want to have to go back to the work site after like a two-term or a three-term.
Mm-hmm.
But some unions do have that. The ILW Local 10 in San Francisco has a two-term limit. You're in office for two terms, then you go back on the job. And actually, although it's a little disruptive because you get new people in a lot, you learn the workers, the members of the union, become knowledgeable about how the union operates. It's not one person or one group of people, but it's a large number of people become educated about what a union is. That's the way it has to be.
And then one of the words you used was change. And so I'm going to segue into change to win. What is going on with change to win?
Well, you're in change to win, Roland.
Mm-hmm. What
basically,
is that?
Montel wants to know what's change to win.
Change to win.
That says it all.
change to win
was a new federation that was set up of unions, the SEIU, the Teamsters, the Carpenters, the Laborers, UFCW, supposedly to set up because they said the AFL-CIO wasn't out organizing and mobilizing people. And they said that they had a big difference, and they set up a new group, and they pulled out of the AFL-CIO on a national level. Now, locally, those same unions are staying in most labor councils. In the San Francisco Labor Council, all those unions still continue to participate in the San Francisco Labor Council. But they set up a new federation, and...
And what have they done? It's been like, what, 2 years now, 3 years?
Well, that's a good question. The head of it, they did go to China, and they met with the Chinese unions there and helped...
Well,
talk about how they can organize Walmart in China.
Well, on my wall, I got a picture of Huey Newton, and he went to China, what is this, 1970? won, so when he... So.
But I think he went at a little different time. I mean, when Huey Newton went there, there wasn't, it was a little difference, right?
Yeah.
Capitalism is going full blast in China.
Yeah, and he definitely wasn't going to advocate for what, either advocate or a broker for Walmart or whatever.
Yeah, what's going on with these agreements with Walmart? What's happening behind the scenes?
Well, Walmart, you know, does not want unions. They have a union-free environment, and they want slave labor. As a matter of fact, in this recent immigration bill, most people don't know, there was a clause in the immigration bill that would have allowed Walmart and Costco and Home Depot to bring in immigrant workers and use them as guest workers in their plants, in their stores. So they want slave labor, and in China, they have to deal with the government. And as a result of that, in government unions, they were forced to negotiate to agree to accept the unions. Now, those are not independent unions. They're unions that are part of the government and structure. So, but they did agree to have unions in China at the Walmarts and at the McDonald's, where, as in this country, they say they don't want them and they'll close down stores. For example, in France, they closed down a store where the workers voted to go union. Canada, rather, they closed down a store in Montreal. So, Walmart has got a war on workers, and the government in this country has a war on workers. And they tried to have a bill, for example, for a car check. It's called the Employee Freedom Act, that would allow workers to get a union just having a car check without being stalled with the NLRB in this election process. And they couldn't even get it passed through the Congress or the Senate. You know, so. The main thing is, in my view, is that the workers have to use their power on the shop floor. They have to use their power of transportation to really shut down things if they're going to get things. That's how this war is going to be stopped, and that's how workers in the 30s and 40s built unions, because at that time it was very difficult to build unions. Workers could just form a union. They arrested workers, right? You know, a lot of them.
Right. Now, and then one of the things we believe in here at Justice Found .org is digital inclusion. For those people that are listening that don't have digital access or computer access, is there a phone number they can call you to find out more information about Labor Fest and
so on?
Well,
they can call 415-642-8066. 415-642-8066. We were working on bringing in South African trade unions, because this is the 20th anniversary of the largest strike wave in South Africa against apartheid.
Okay.
And we have a video we're going to be showing, a film about that, and also about the longshoremen in San Francisco who refused to unload steel from South Africa in 1984 against the apartheid regime. So we're going to try to bring this. The brother who was going to come wasn't able to get his visa because their new visa legislation, supposedly against the war on terrorism, his visa expired in October, but they say your visa has to last a year before you get a visa now.
So like you said, you got some people that are going to talk about what they did over 20 years ago about steel with South Africa.
That's right.
And down in New Orleans, because I have actually where I'm going to interview somebody from there in the near future. I understand not only is it not a union, I guess it was unions and it became anti-union, but right at the moment it sounds like it's just free market where people are being, immigrant people are not being paid what they're supposed to be paid, and then even when they complete the work, they're not getting the money they're supposed to get.
Right.
It's being gentrified. Apparently, other than Edwards, nobody has really gone down there and brought this to anybody's attention. It seems like if New Orleans is going to rise from the dead, then it should be this workers' place. It should be, I mean, you got to rebuild the city, so it should be like a worker's place.
Sure. But the capitalists and the Bush government used the crisis there, the environmental crisis, which in fact was caused by them not taking care of the levees, to basically do an ethnic purge, to kick the black population out of the area. And that's not unusual, because it happens there. It's happened in other places. I was recently in St. Paul, Minnesota. There was a flood there of the Mississippi, and what did they do? They used that as an excuse to get rid of the working people, blacks, Latinos, in that area where they lived.
Yeah, and they're doing it in San Francisco, and they're doing it in Los Angeles.
All the time. I mean, so that's one of the things that we are interested in Labor Fest doing, and that is we had a walk in Vernal Heights, Labor History Walk of the 1907 Carmen strike. There were 31 people who were killed during that strike. But what we want to have is neighborhood walks, like in Bayview's Hunters Point, in Western Addition, to talk about the real history of our neighborhoods, how this ethnic cleansing, how the redevelopment, how the incarceration of Japanese, that's changed, radically changed San Francisco, and most people don't know about that history. We have to get that history back and bring it back to people so they know where they come from.
That's right. If you know where you come from, then hopefully you'll know not to leave. And then that's the thing, that people need to take a stand. So I want to close on Change the Wind, though, because I had interviewed a good sister, Ava Royale, and she's with UFW, and then she was sharing with me about how they had this contract that must have been signed almost 30 years ago or whatever with the Great Pickers or something like that. And then recently I think Schwarzenegger signed something saying that that contract is null and void anyway. But anyway, UFW, I believe, is part of Change the Wind. And my understanding of the information that was given out about Change the Wind was that it was going to be very proactive. It was going to reflect the new workers. It was going to have women, people of color, be incredibly inclusive. It was going to be incredibly working outside of the box. It was going to be, you know, this free-flowing thing and stuff. And yet...
Well, as you know, I mean, we tried in UHW to get them to do a media, labor media thing, to train the members to do labor media, to get the word out. I mean, with the technology that you're using, podcasting, YouTube, it's possible for workers to have their own media.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, during the Hayward teachers' strike, three high school teachers in Hayward set up a daily video TV bulletin, strike bulletin, in Spanish and English about their strike. And you can get it by going to HUSD strike on YouTube. But I mean, here three teachers are able to set up a daily video strike bulletin, and that was done on their own. So imagine our unions with all the resources, the power that they have, what we could do if we really were proactive.
But what did Frederick Douglass say about power, Montel?
Yeah, that's right.
What did he say?
Information is knowledge, and knowledge is power.
But I thought Frederick Douglass said power doesn't give...
Yeah, power is not succeeded without a demand. So
yeah.
We have to demand things get changed.
Yeah, so...
It won't change on its own.
Yeah, so then that's... So true, labor might be powerful, but as you stated, these three teachers showed their power and put the videos up.
They didn't wait for anybody.
Thank you.
That's right.
We're putting this podcast up.
Sure.
And that's what other people need to take from this. When they listen to this, when they deal with things, it's like you have gravity and you have inertia. And if you're responding to both of them, you're not going to do anything.
But we're going to have a thing. In fact, you should come to it. Maybe you can talk about what you do with the podcasting. We're going to have a session on labor and public media and how to use new technologies. And that's going to be on July 22nd at New College, 777 Valencia Street.
Okay.
Labor, telecommunications, the public, and media. In other words, how can we use labor media? How can we fight for municipal broadband?
Right.
Where people can use the broadband without having to pay Google or Earthlink or these other bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And again, you got fiber optics and Wi-Fi. There's a lot of stuff out there. So, Steve, I'm going to let you close it. So, what do you...
I say solidarity. Let's build a working class movement. Let's use telecommunications and new media to get the word out and... Let workers' voices get out there. That's what we have to do. We have to get these stories out of the struggle and battles that workers are going through in this country and around the world.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Great talking to you, Steve.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you a small business or entrepreneur? You know you need to be online, but you don't know where to start? Come to RedTap. We'll help you with all of your online needs. Everything from website design to e-commerce site setup to e-marketing. We'll speak to you in your language and help you build a successful online business. Give us a call at 415-285-0585. RedTap is located in the heart of the Mission District at 1360 Valencia Street and is a proud sponsor of the JusticeFound.org podcast. You've been listening to the Worker Justice Talk podcast edition with Roland Washington. The Worker Justice Talk is a production of JusticeFound.org and RedTap. Most editions are recorded live at the studios of RedTap, located in the heart of the Mission District in San Francisco. The Work Justice Talk is available online at justicefound.org and for download on iTunes. The post-production audio engineer was me, David J. Kortzmeyer. Join us next time for another edition of The Worker Justice Talk.